What's up? What's up? Welcome back to another episode of Earspace. On today's podcast, we get to know O'Rory. This guy is a monster. He's a beast. I have been fanboying over this dude's production for a long time, and I'm super happy to finally get him in the studio to kind of talk about his craft, you know, his process, how he does it. For longtime listeners of the podcast, you know that I've been making beats for, since like 2016 or so. And recently I started to try to learn how to do stuff live and perform beats live. And this dude, O'Rory, has been doing it for a while. I had the pleasure a couple months ago to perform live with him and Swamp Rat, who was also on the podcast. And it was just wild, man. I mean, you know, I feel like as engineers and as other producers, like, you know, I try to give people their flowers as much as possible. This dude's just fucking nuts, man. He's so good. And I know I'm hyping him up a whole lot. I don't know if he'll like it, but a really, really great producer, really amazing musician. And it was a privilege to be able to speak with him on the podcast. We talked a lot about, you know, creativity. You know, his process and mine are substantially different. You know, we don't agree on everything, but, you know, we definitely came together on the love of the art. So I'm sure y'all will enjoy this podcast today. The song used on this episode is a track that O'Rory recently released called Fat Joint. There'll be a link in the description wherever you're listening to check out his music and be on the lookout. He's the drummer for the Street Beans. I think we've had, yeah, we had Rachel, the lead singer, who was the intern here for a while. And we had Avery, their percussionist, and maybe somebody else. I'm not sure. Everything's a blur. We're releasing a lot of podcasts out here. So tune in. We got a lot of episodes coming out over the next couple weeks. And yeah, awesome conversation. Really enjoyed it. All you music people out there will definitely get some good takeaways from this one. Yeah, cool pod. What else? Of course, yes, longtime listeners to the show, you know everything we do here is possible because of Rock 10 Productions. If you're looking for any recording, mixing, or mastering for your audio project, check out rock10productions.com. That's rok10productions.com. And follow us on Instagram at Earspace Podcast to see photos of the guests, links to their social media, and all that other good stuff. Without further ado, here's my conversation with O'Rory. Here and talking to me, if you want to just introduce yourself real quick, tell me a little bit about you, and then we'll fucking continue on with normal conversation.
Hell yeah. What's up? My name's Rory, or O'Rory, you know. I'm an artist. Yeah, I'm also in a band called Street Beans.
Hell yeah.
That's pretty much it. Yeah.
Dope. I was really curious. I don't pre-plan anything at all, but there was one thing that I was like, I have to know the answer to this as I fumble around with this mic stand. Your artist, it's like O'Rory, but is your name Rory?
Yeah. So, yeah, my name's Rory. I go by Rory. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Legally, my name's Paul, just to put that out there. But like, yeah, I don't go by Paul. I just go by Rory.
Dude,
yeah.
I would have never known that.
Yeah.
So is it like the O'Rory? Can you? Is there a reasoning behind it, or like a cool story, or is it just you're O'Rory?
Not totally. So I mean, kind of just happened. Like, I was just kind of experimenting with different names, different artist styles. Kind of had like a whole like change of course, like after a while of like just I don't know, just like identifying differently within artistry and stuff.
So
I don't know, it just kind of happened. I really liked the name like Aurora, that was really cool.
Okay.
And then I like thought that that was cool because it was like space and everything,
right.
Like the Northern Lights and everything, Aurora Borealis.
Yeah.
But I kind of just liked the name Rory, and then I was like, oh, Aurora, because it just sounds cool. And now the way I look at it is just like, it's Aurora, like it's like it's a Pikachu, or like it's a bird, it's a plane,
right?
You know, more like just like a Rory, like. But it can, it's up for interpretation. I don't know. I just thought it sounded cool, honestly.
I could dig it. No, I could dig that for sure. I think names are weird, especially like, you know, when you're coming up with an artist name or coming up with a name for a project. Like, I've always had stuff just kind of come to me and it's been organic. But recently I've started to, like, I want to start releasing music as myself. Rather than everything that Rock 10 releases is like Rock 10's beats or for lease and for this, or Rock 10 releases other people's music, and it's like all within like the business, right? But I want to start releasing my own music just as an artist. And I was like, well, I can't call it Rock 10 because it's, you know, so for the first time in a long time, I had to come up with an artist name. And I thought about it for so fucking long, for months and months and months. And I finally landed on something. And I'll say it on the podcast now, and then I'll never describe it again, so it'll be a little exclusive. But it's Mob Hop, M-O-B-B-H-O-P-P. And I think I like it. It's kind of stuck with me now. My girlfriend doesn't like it. She says it's dumb, which I understand. It's because it's kind of hard to understand what I'm actually saying.
Yeah.
But the reasoning behind it is I was having a conversation with another producer, and they kept on saying, like, my pops made this song. And I was like, Mob Hop. And he was like, my pops, Mob. And I was like, what are you saying? And I thought he was saying Mob Hop. I'm like, that's a great artist name. And he was like, no, Mob Pops, like my pop, my father.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, that's it. That's the name. So I'm sticking with that now. I'm going to start releasing music next year, I think. But yeah, names are strange. You just released a project recently. I listened on Bandcamp, no? It was like really like ambient sonic exploration.
Just kind of been experimenting with that. Well, before we go into that, I wanted to say, like, you know, Mob Hop, that's cool. You know, it's like with that too, it's like even if it's just something you're messing around with, like I feel like artists get too stuck in the head of like it has to be this one thing forever or whatever,
right.
It's like, you know, there's nothing wrong with just like figuring it out and like going and like seeing like how it works. You never really know until you try, you know?
It's so true. It's like, yeah. I guess I get like, we were kind of talking a little bit off mic about it. Like I'm really stuck in this place between like super uber professionalism and like just embracing the art and the creative aspects of it. And like my thought process originally was like, I need to figure out a name and stick to it. Because I'm going to set up all like the fucking bullshit for it and like register the name with all the stuff and get all the copyright stuff sorted and all the stuff that I had done over the years for Rock 10. I was like, well, now I know how to do that.
Yeah.
I'll just set that all up off the rip. But I have to figure out the name, you know? So it's like I'd like to kind of journey through it and change the name a bunch or figure out if something else works for it.
Yeah.
But I'd also like to like sort out all the legal shit now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's but fun stuff,
you know.
Yeah,
like kind of, and we're gonna fly all over the place too, but like is that like a part of your artistic endeavors? Like are you registered on like BMI and like all that good shit?
No, I'm not. I don't know much about that, really. I've never like delved into the like copyright stuff, because also I like sample a lot. Like it wasn't always that way. I guess I was always sampling in a way, because I was like, I would like play something and then sample that, so I was always sampling, I guess, but never like was using like other samples at first. Yeah. I guess I was, honestly. Even like starting out, like using like when the very start, like using shitty like Apple loops.
Yeah,
even, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know, I guess for that reason I've kind of just been like I'm not even technically allowed to use like the some stuff I use, and then some I am. It's like sometimes you can't even tell what it is.
Right.
So it's just like I just really enjoy taking something and making it. And I mean, also I don't really know how to play like chords. I don't know how to play like chords or anything, or like my main instrument's drums, and it's like the only instrument I play. Like I dabbled in like playing synth, but that's not really like, that's kind of just like adding to a track more so. Not like, I've never played chords and I don't know any music theory at all.
Likewise.
So
I just noodle.
Yeah. So that's why, I don't know. That sampling comes in handy with that, but I don't know. I would play chords like when I had the OP1, but then that kind of, and then I got out of that, and then I don't know. I just started getting into the sample based stuff. It's really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you like, I don't want to say are you worried at all, but like, because you're sampling a lot of stuff, is that like a in the back of your mind? You're like, shit, maybe I like, what can I do with this?
It was at a time, but it's not anymore. Yeah. Like I think people get too caught up in that. Like I was seeing I saw this like Kenny Beats live stream, and he kind of said something where it was like, if you're getting caught for it and like they are, like that's kind of a good thing that you're like on that level
getting,
where like they actually care.
Recognized
like they actually care. Like who cares about like who am I sampling that's like gonna you know, sometimes it's people that are also have passed so it's like I don't know. And also you can't even tell sometimes, so who's really gonna care about like the shit that I'm doing? Like I don't mean it in a negative way, I just mean like whoever I'm sampling. Not that I always sample like a huge artist or whatever, but like I don't know, I'll sample anything. It's like I'm not too worried about it, and once I get to there, that's cool. But sometimes I've heard artists like on Spotify that have like millions of listeners, and there's no way that the sample is cleared. So that's what keeps me like not worried either. It's like
it is kind of a gamble.
I
think like I'm just a strickler for it, because like I did it once. I made a beat where like I flipped this song by the Sandpipers. I got the record in here somewhere, but like relatively obscure. I didn't do like a whole lot of crazy shit with it. It was mostly just like a flip. And then I recorded a cipher for it. Poured a bunch of money into filming a music video, doing all this really cool shit, went to release it and got like flagged.
What?
And was like, oh, okay, cool. And then I reached out to the publishing company that had owned it, and they wanted an astronomical amount of money to clear the sample just on some bullshit, you know? So I was like, all right, like, I don't ever want this to happen again. So I can either never sample again, which I don't, no, I'm not classically trained in anything, you know what I mean? I'm just noodling around on stuff, so that was an option. But I like sampling, you know what I mean? You can get so many different cool textures and different options.
Yeah.
So then I went down the route of like being like, all right, I'm gonna like clear my samples and get rid of like figure out all that type shit, which is incredibly expensive when you're not really making any money off the beats and stuff. So yeah, I have like kind of a bad taste in my mouth for it, just because I got immediately fucked well, the first time I tried to do it, you know what I mean? But yeah, I think it's totally valid. Like, you don't have to do all the fucking bullshit, you know what I mean? Just make the music and put it out, and hopefully it doesn't get flagged.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow, that's crazy. Like, so, just out of curiosity, was the sample, like, pitched up or down at all?
I think it was pitched down, and, like, there was some, like, stuff on it, you know what I mean? Like, it has a little reverb and, like, this thing or whatever the fuck, but I didn't, like, super manipulated. It was mostly like I took a section of like a chorus and like then chopped that up and rearranged it and whatnot.
Yeah,
but yeah,
interesting.
And it got flagged from like an algorithm. It wasn't initially just a person.
Oh yeah,
it was just a robot that did it. And then I reached out to the people and they were like, yeah, no, you have to
sort this out. So I started using recently, I was really against it for a long time, but I started using Tracklib, where you can like, you can sample records and stuff, but it's all like when early on when I first found out about it, there wasn't that many records on there. So I was like, all right, everyone's digging out of the same crate. Like, this is going to just be boring right away, you know? Because are you familiar with like Splice?
Yeah, yeah.
So like I use Splice all the time for stuff, but like the worst feeling in the world is if you take like a sample and maybe you completely like alter it or whatever, but like I hear it all the time on commercials and like on TV shows or whatever. Like I'll hear a sample and be like, I know exactly where they got that from. That's from Splice. They didn't change anything with it or whatever, right? And to me, like if I'm going to sample stuff, I don't want it to be easily recognizable to someone else's song,
right?
You know, so with Tracklib, I was concerned in the early times of being like, I don't want to just take stuff that everyone else is taking. The whole beauty to me of sampling, and I don't want to speak for you so too, but it's like finding some hidden gem or whatever and changing it or turning it into something fascinating. But over the years, so many more songs have been added to Tracklib that now I use it and I like it, you know. So if I'm going to commercially release a song with somebody, I can just pay for the sample like right there. It's all like streamlined, and I do actually enjoy that.
Yeah, you know, dude. So. I feel that. Like I agree. I don't want to like. I've definitely heard songs where like sometimes too like sample based producers will like, you know, look up what other sample based producers are sampling and then use that, and it's like I feel like that's just kind of like defeats the whole purpose in a way, but. I don't know. I also think there's like a beauty to it in a way.
Yeah.
Like, because if you're like digging through crates and you're like just flipping vinyl, you might not even know that like someone else used that. Or like in the same vein, like you found it, but it's cool to you because like Jay Dilla used it and you're like, oh, I actually found it on vinyl. Yeah. And then you're like, okay, well, Dilla used it. But to me, it's like if I found that Dilla used it, the sample itself I still might, but like I would try to take a different approach. Like I've heard people chop the same sample and it's like, you know what it is, but I guess it's kind of cool in a way too, because I know at a show if you hear that, it's like, oh cool, that's like that thing or whatever.
Right.
It all just depends how you look at it. Like I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I just think sometimes it's like, well, they are, especially, it's like, oh, J. Dill already did. It's like, not to sound like the negative, but it's like, how are you going to ever top that?
Right,
you know
right,
what
right.
I mean?
No, I get that.
So,
I get that.
But.
No, that's dope.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's all so much, you know, and like, it's funny. Before we were talking, I was like, I'm not going to go into this line of conversation because I do talk about it on the podcast all the time with other producers and with other, you know, beat makers and musicians and stuff, but it's just on my mind all the time, you know, trying to make it all work and shit. But like, what's your, and I say this too, because like, I've seen you perform a couple times. I think I met you for the first time at, the center of the city, like Tyrion Mack was doing something and you were jamming and I was like, yo, like you're fucking amazing. You know what I mean? Like for someone that like I play everything on the B pad, if you will. I'm not a real big fan of like programming with my mouse, but I don't do it all live. I'll like layer something and like sit there for a minute and then be like, oh, well, what do I want to put on top of this or whatever. So I saw you perform for the first time, like just fucking making everything happen in the moment, and I was like, this is so inspiring. You're so fucking amazing. You know what I mean? So not to just blow smoke up your ass, but I do really enjoy your music and your performances and stuff. So then when it comes to like the sampling side and like more of the longevity or the business side or whatever, like I'm super curious, like what are your goals and plans and, well, you know what I mean? Like what is this to you?
Thank you.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that. So like, I don't know. I started making like producing music when I was like 16, about to turn 25. But it's always just been like a really like a need. It's not been like, I've not thought of it. Like that's not true. I feel like I try my best with like my own stuff not to think about like, how am I going to make like a bunch of money off of this and stuff like that. Cause I'm fortunate enough to where I'm in a band that like we make enough money in the band that like that's a different avenue of music that I can kind of just like treat this my own stuff to be like just anything I could possibly want it to be, and like not think about too much about the financial. And like I'm so lucky for that, because there's so many people that feel like they can't even create because they're like financially stressed about like their project and whatever it is. And like I've definitely been there, you know, don't get me wrong, I've not always like had it like all figured out, but I don't have it all figured out. But like
none of us do, man.
I'm just I don't know, my goals with it is to just like make sure I get everything out there, so like whenever I like, you know, die or whatever, it's just all there. And I don't always think of it as like, you know, in that way, but I just mean do whatever I want with it, and like just I also just do it because I need to, releasing stuff. I mean, you know, as an artist, it's just like it's no longer in your brain. You did it, it's out of you, and now like you can kind of just like move on and feel okay because you like got that idea out and stuff. Like I definitely have goals with it. Like I definitely want to DJ more and like learn. I want to learn like a two vinyl setup or a turntable setup where I can DJ vinyl. That stuff's really fun. And look, it's really cool. I really admire like the art with that. That's like a whole different art form. But other than that, just like play shows, give people like something to feel, something to like provide for everyday life, like driving at night, like smoking a joint, like I don't know.
I love that.
Everything. It, just like
to create.
Just put it out there, just to create. Like that's really what it is. I mean, don't get me wrong, I definitely want to make more money with like what I'm doing, and like you know, have people use my beats more. But I've never like I've always just been like it's just something I have to do to like feels okay, so like that's just why I do it. I just love making music, making beats, everything.
I mean, like I even if I'm not like recording it, or it's not like I sit down every single time like this is gonna be a thing, you know. There's definitely projects that are like that, like I was telling you earlier, I don't think we were recording yet, about doing like customs and stuff. But like if I don't know how to play the piano, but if I don't play the piano, like at least once a week is like bare fucking minimum, you know what I mean? It's like holy shit, I need to create something. It affects me, you know what I mean? Like I gotta create stuff. I feel like that's the same for most people that are creative. Like I depend on it emotionally and physically, you know, like regardless of what it is. Like I have probably like hundreds and hundreds of songs at this point that I'm not planning on ever releasing them or whatever. Like I literally, it's a folder on my computer just called Gems for Me, and it's just weird shit.
Yeah,
and I'm like, I just needed to do that, you know?
Yeah, dude.
So I dig that. But I save some of them because I'm like, well, maybe I can go back and listen to it if I'm feeling some type of way.
Yeah,
but yeah, why? Totally. Like, so you said you've been, was it making beats since you were 16, or like making just like drumming?
I've been drumming since I was 12, and then I've been making beats since I was like around 16. Gotcha. Yeah, my so in high school, like I was gonna take a graphic arts class because like visual arts was kind of my first like love, and my mom wanted me to do it because it was like a way to make money through art, and she like realizes like he's just gonna keep doing that. And then she got me a laptop, which was really nice of her because she wanted me to be able to like use Photoshop and shit. Yeah. But I ended up not even like really getting Photoshop because they already had computers there that had it.
Yeah.
And I basically just from there on out like used GarageBand and was just using GarageBand for like a long time. And I went under the name as, like, when I was younger, like 16 and up, Ralph Alfalfa.
Nice. I love that.
I don't even know why.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. Ever since then, I was just like, oh, I can do it on my own. Because I was in the band before that, like, called The Poff.
Okay.
That was just, like, a bunch of my friends in my neighborhood. And I was really lucky that I grew up in a neighborhood where other people were, like, doing music. That's how I got into music. But from then on out, I was just like, oh, I just got to like do this forever. And then I was like, man, GarageBand is terrible. It sounds really bad. And then I like saved up enough money to get like an OP1. And then the rest just kind of. I'm not trying to tell the whole story.
No. I mean, you're more than welcome to if you want to.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's pretty much it. I've always played drums, and I've always loved like playing drums for myself. But the idea of being able to like build a whole song by yourself and like have fun. And once I found out you could do it in a way where you assign different things to pads and you can like drum.
Yeah.
Like
it's game over.
Yeah. That's just how it all happened. And yeah, pretty that's much. Awesome. Yeah.
What's like besides like, you know, the obvious that there's just more people, different ideas and all that, like what do you find is the biggest difference between sitting down and creating a song by yourself and with a band?
Man, it's definitely easier by yourself.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I mean, especially if you're sampling, like, it can just be done so quickly.
Yeah.
Like, cause now, like in our day, we have like auto chop too.
Oh, right? Yeah. It's like, right.
You can just tap the pad and it's on there and it's like, boom. And then you like do that again and it's like, boom, like boost the bass, you know, add some effects. But it just feels very freeing and you can go in any direction too. Like there's no like, maybe that's a part of the reason why some of my stuff feels so freeing, because there's not as much of an audience as well as like the band has. So it's like, I'm not thinking about like, I don't know. But with the band, with writing with a band, it's like, you know, it's funny because we're actually like writing our second album right now.
Yeah.
And we've only had one session and it went really well. Like it was fun. And it was just a few of us. It's definitely harder to write when the more people there is. But luckily, like, I have enough of a connection with everyone that, like, whenever somebody, like, no one's going to, like, knock you down for any idea you have.
We're
I'm grateful that, like, we'll always just try it. And then, you know, we don't beat the bush around too much. Just like, ah, it's not it. Or like, oh, let's, like, try it this way or, you know. But, it's easier when someone comes to the table with an idea, but I also love exploring and like the uncertainty of like, where is this going to go?
Right.
And then in the end, it's like, maybe that's the best song you've written, you know?
Yeah.
But it's fun and something I appreciate when people are like, when you're writing, there's no like, I feel like there should never be like an expectation with like, it should just be like, or like, I feel like always trying to make something like this is cool because you have inspiration, but like, I feel like a lot of time, like we're not even the ones making the music. It's just kind of like this thing that's happening and it's like flowing through us as long as you're like channeled into like just being open to that, I guess, but easier said than done.
No, but, I could definitely dig that. I mean, I've always been fascinated by like the random ideas that pop into your head. Or when you like come up with a chord progression or and it's like, well, where did that come from? You know what I mean? And I like to fantasize that it's like this collective consciousness of creativity that we all just every once in a while kind of, you know, touch.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, channel that, you know, but I was in a band years and years and years ago. It was like a metalcore group.
That's awesome.
And that's how it kind of like came into this world, but you know, I have for the longest time like really struggled with like writing music with other people. So I was like, I know, even if I don't know what I want, like I can just do it, right? You know what I mean? And then like over the years, I started collaborating with more people. And it's a really beautiful thing when you can really gel with somebody and be like, all right, we're on the same page. We're just kind of going, floating around different ideas, you know? Mm-hmm. But it is different, you know? It's like, it could be more and less efficient. But I agree with you for sure when you get like a huge group of people, you know? I mean, I guess maybe like from a recording aspect, like there's been times where like producers will come in, sit in on the sessions, and obviously like we're just acting as the engineers. Like I say we, Ian and I.
Mm-hmm.
But then there'll be times where like, you know, someone brings like seven people and all seven people have ideas.
Yeah.
And then it's like, all right, well, everyone's got conflicting ideas. Like, how do we push this forward?
Right.
You know what I mean? How do we try everything or whatever? But it's weird, you know, like... Every song that you've ever created or whatever has just like come from your brain.
Yeah. It's super weird.
It's like I overanalyze stuff like that all the time, you know, but really like thinking about all of, like everything that was ever built was just an idea.
Yeah.
And every song that was ever created was a thought or a combination of thoughts and.
Yeah.
That's weird shit, man. I don't know.
It is weird, yeah. I've like, yeah, and I like gotta look into this, but I hope I'm not just like completely talking out of my ass, but I've definitely heard somewhere either like on the internet or word of mouth that like things used to be built by like vibrations and stuff.
Okay.
And like people would like basically just like in a bunch of people, like thousands of people would like just like either like hum the same frequency or something,
no.
And then be able to like move stuff and like stuff like that. But I can't even tell you where I got that from. But honestly, like I've heard about that recently, and I'm like,
I've talked about that on the podcast recently. I don't know if it's an original thought. I don't think I'm not claiming ownership of it by any means. But I saw a video online of someone levitating a leaf with a didgeridoo.
What?
At some point, I don't know, like a couple years ago. And ever since then, I've been like, I want to start doing more experiments with audio.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, same concept. Like, you know, you cymatics and all that stuff. You know, you can take sound and have it create fractal images and all this other wild stuff. Yeah. I really do think you can levitate things with sound.
Mm.
And I've literally been super curious about the same concept of like, all right, well, how many people do you have to get into the same room?
Yeah.
To hum the same frequency, to channel that towards something.
Right.
Could it pick up a rock? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, could you build the pyramids with it? Like, could you...
Right.
Like, you know.
Dude, yeah. Oh, man. I gotta look that stuff up. I feel like that's a wormhole.
Yeah. Oh, but for sure.
I'm down for it because it's all interesting stuff. I feel like it's, like, good stuff to, like, know, you know? Like, especially if it's, like, a thing that used to happen and then, like... It just got lost, like, in between now and then, like...
Right.
It'd be crazy if we're still able to, like, you know, do stuff like that, you know? But I don't know.
Yeah, I really want to get some speakers that are, like, big enough that I could pump some serious sound through them, but not too expensive that I'm not upset by completely destroying them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And start doing some sound experiments.
Do it. Dude.
I think that's the plan.
That's the shit I've kind of been... like into as of late, honestly. Yeah. It's like stuff like that, like I don't know, like I've been like feeling rough in my car or whatever, just like a rough morning, hungover, whatever.
Yeah.
And then like I've listened to like ambient stuff.
Hell yeah.
Like the either like Lion Milk, which is a big big inspiration, and Starfucker.
Yeah, yeah.
They do have like an ambient album. But I don't know, a bunch of just different random ambient shit. But like,
yeah.
I feel like even just listening to that, and also like, and as like no drums, just like ambient droning music, and like sometimes even humming like the tonic of the song, you know,
yeah.
Like, and just like feeling that like vibration through like your face and stuff, feeling it like really helps.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, like sound bathing and stuff.
Yeah, honestly, and like it puts, I feel like it puts you in like a grounded state. Like you're able to like focus better.
I have a song bowl over there. I gotta grab it.
Yeah, do it. Yeah, yeah. I'm coming out with the project on Thursday, this Thursday. Well, I guess this probably won't be out by then. Yeah, but either way,
it'll come out at some point.
Soon. Coming out November 9th. It's actually my birthday as well.
I bet.
It's called Heal. It's just all a bunch of different like sounds.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm also coming out with a song on the same day. So it's like a project and a single for maybe another project. But it's called Fat Joint.
Nice.
So nice. Heal and Fat Joint.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, speaking of that, maybe we'll see if we can try to put it out. Never mind. November 9th is literally like...
This week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll probably won't put this out for a couple of weeks, but...
That's okay.
Either way, happy early now, belated by the time this comes out, birthday.
Hell yeah. Thanks, dude. Appreciate it. Yeah.
So you're going to be 26?
25.
Oh, you're going to be 25.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Dude, time is speeding up, man.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I'm about to turn 30 next month.
Hell yeah.
And I'm like, that's one of those weird ones.
Yeah. Do you feel like... It gets yeah my friend just turned 30 as well. It was cool. But do you like dread getting older in a way, or are you more like just like...
I don't really like subscribe to time.
Yeah,
like I say I'm turning 30 and it feels cool or whatever, because that's... I feel like I'm supposed to say that so I don't sound like a fucking crazy person.
Yeah,
but like I don't... everything's just kind of like before now.
Yeah,
you know, I really like genuinely... it's not even that I believe that, like it just is true to me. You know, like I've lived a lot of life so far and hope to live more of it.
Yeah,
but it's... I don't even really know if I'm here right now, man. You know, like I battle with that constantly of like I work really hard, I feel like, to suppress my extreme confusion with reality. You know,
like, yeah.
If I'm left to just think, I go down rabbit holes on rabbit holes on rabbit holes of consciousness and
right
all that fun stuff. So I cover it up with just working really hard.
That's awesome.
By creating and kind of tapping into that other aspect. So it's kind of like a you know, a cyclical wormhole of paradoxes.
Damn.
You know,
but, yeah. Well, that's kind of what we were saying earlier, though. I mean, for to a certain extent, I mean, more like not as the blanket statement of like creating to feel okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's... I feel like that's the same thing,
right?
You know, yeah, it's like... yeah.
It's a much more better way of saying it than my trying to over explain it.
No, but like it's good to... I mean, it's like I feel that too. I definitely get into like thinking holes of like... I mean, especially when you're like an artist, I feel like you're just like, you're kind of like, what am I even doing? Because like not always does it like the stuff that makes you feel like purposeful and like you're doing the right thing provides like outside validation or whatever, or like outside like feels like you're doing the right thing or whatever. It's like, I don't know, as long as you... to me, like making it is just being able to like support yourself off of like what you love doing. So
for sure, for sure. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm I know I'm like big business boy or whatever, but like I don't want to like fucking buy a jet someday or whatever. Like my dream is to like live in a tent in the wilderness.
That's
and
sick.
Just be like, okay, you know what I mean? But I also like everything I love needs power, you know, so I need electricity. And I'm like, fuck. Like I fantasize hardcore and I idolize the traveling man with the acoustic guitar that can create music anywhere.
Yeah.
It doesn't need all this stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But I also, this is the medium that I chose.
Yeah.
And like I've dabbled with the guitar before, but it doesn't... I'm like, oh, I can't play the drums on this guitar. I can't, you know, make crazy weird synth sounds with this guitar, you know. I mean, I guess you could, but you'd have to, you know, run it through a bunch of pedals and stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, I agree with you for sure. I mean, like success to me is just kind of creating shit and not... I just want to worry less than I did last year.
There you go.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But like I worry about all the shit.
I constantly totally feel that. I feel like I'm always like, I always judge it by like each summer.
Yeah.
Cause like for this was I feel like this was like the first summer I wasn't like completely broke.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Like I, each summer I always judge it by someone like, okay, this summer, how much money am I making than last summer? Yeah. Cause that's always when all the gigs are. Right, so it's right, like, right. Try to gauge off of that. But, so far it's been like each summer, yeah, you know, like it gets more money. So
that's good.
That's cool. But
yeah,
it's also like, I don't care that much about that. I just care about doing all right and like right. progressing right. is the biggest thing. Because unfortunately, I feel like a lot of the time, it sucks. But like, I guess this isn't true. I was gonna say to progress, you have to have money, but that's not really true. I feel like
it depends on what you're progressing.
Yeah, exactly.
In,
you know? Exactly.
You can progress spiritually with nothing.
True,
but. No, I mean, I feel that. Like, I don't think money buys happiness, but it helps you, like, worry less. Like, I've been in plenty of situations where I'm like, I can't fucking eat this week.
Yeah.
Or I don't know if I'm going to get evicted or whatever the fuck. You know what I mean? Not having to worry about that, it's like, I feel like it frees up more time to just exist.
Exactly.
But it's, again, it's kind of a counterproductive thing, because if you want to not worry that much about that, you have to fucking do something to make the money, you know?
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, I don't know. It's a never ending cycle of shit.
Yeah, definitely.
But, yeah. I don't know. I just realized you have a Winnie the Pooh backpack, and those pillows over there are like Winnie the Pooh colors.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah. Yeah.
Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, dude, I found that backpack just on the side of the street, just like in the cardboard box, said free.
Hell yeah.
So that's always clutch. Hell yeah. Langster's like pretty cool for that. Like, I feel you can find some pretty cool shit. Yeah. Like, just in boxes. Like, yeah, that was a huge, like, when I first moved here, like almost it's like 3.5 years or 4 years.
Okay.
Almost 4 years ago. Like, I remember, like, that was one of the first things I noticed was like, well, maybe not the first thing, because when I moved here, kind of like COVID hit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I always love that about Lancaster.
You can find some cool stuff.
Yeah.
There's I forget the brand or the name or whatever, but we found a guitar amp in a dumpster.
What?
And it works.
Damn. Too.
Yeah.
Does it sound all right?
I mean, yeah, it needs some work done to it, but like
it works. It
physically turns on and signal goes through it. So.
Dude, that's sick.
Big find. Big find.
Wow.
You got to look around, man.
Yeah.
You know, I met this guy once. Shout out to Bill, rest in peace. But he used to walk around with a metal detector and find stuff. And he told me once, he's like, you always got to walk around and look at the ground, because that's where everything ends up. And that's where you find all the cool stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, hell yeah, Bill.
Yeah.
You know.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really, I mean, he's right as fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta look at the ground and walk around.
Yeah.
I got a metal detector. A little while ago. I haven't used it much yet, but I need to get out there and do some metal detecting.
That would be sick.
Yeah.
Man, I've never done that, but there's probably so much, like, crazy shit just anywhere. Yeah.
I think about oftentimes, like, what's underneath me, you know?
Mm.
Like, when you walk down the street anywhere, like, what's under that?
Yeah.
You know, and then what's under that? You know, because I mean, in Lancaster, there's tunnels that go throughout the city.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So there's like rumors, and then there's this and that and whatever. But there are there is an abandoned tunnel system under Lancaster. The construction that they're doing over on, I don't know if it's like Queen Street and some other street. I've lived here forever, and I'm bad with street names. But with the big crane downtown that's doing the stuff, they actually hit some of the tunnels and it fucked up their construction. But I know that there's a system that goes under King Street, and I heard a story. I can't confirm or deny if this is true, because I wasn't there. It was, you know, passed by somebody else, but someone was in their basement on King Street and I heard gunshots, and they were like, where the fuck are these gunshots coming from? Like, I'm in my basement, you know what I mean? So they called the police that came out, and they were like, oh yeah, like your basement wall is like it's on the other side of your basement wall, essentially, is like where one of these tunnel systems goes through.
Whoa.
So I was like, that's fucking terrifying. You know?
Yeah, that is terrifying.
I know there's an entrance by 551. I think it's in like their basement. But you can't, you know, you can't like go down there. And it's super dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, I think about the tunnels a lot in Lancaster City when I'm walking down the street. I'm like, what the fuck is underneath me right now?
Dude, now I'm always going to be thinking that.
I want to go down there really bad. I've been talking to a couple different people. There's some like abandoned exploration guys. Shout out to Obsidian Studios. They have a videography business, but they do that kind of stuff. I've been dabbling with them about going down there.
Oh, man.
Some headlamps and some firearms, probably. I don't know what's down there.
That sounds ghosts so and ghouls. Crazy. Dude.
Just do a concert in the tunnels under Lancaster.
Oh, man. That would be so cool. Oh, my gosh.
Do you ever, like, you go exploring and stuff?
Definitely, yeah. Not as much, unfortunately, but yeah. I definitely want to. I mean, I guess I'm kind of exploring in a way. Like I used to go outside a lot more than I do now, and I wish I did that more, and I really should get that in before it gets cold. It'll probably get cold, but...
Why do you think you don't go outside as much?
I guess I'm just, like... always doing stuff like I don't know, I when I'm not like playing on the weekend, it's like working at Rob Rito's.
Oh, hell yeah.
And then outside of that, like making beats too. Always want to make beats, but
you make beats outside?
Yeah, not as much as I like feel like I want to. I did yesterday, which was really cool, but yeah, I don't know. I guess something that's like exploring in the future for me is like I'm actually moving to Philly in January, I think.
Oh shit!
So congratulations. Yeah, I'm moving in with my friends Albie, Michael, and my partner Sylv. So that's gonna be a big exploring, you know, thing. But yeah, just want to like be around more music.
Yeah,
that's merely the main thing, and also just have a place where I can play the drums.
Because
right now I live in a one bedroom, and you know, just as I was talking about like beats and stuff, drums is definitely like a thing that I really need to do.
Yeah,
like to feel okay. Like it's kind of Like I feel like people always describe me on stage like drumming, it's like I go really hard and that's just part of who I am.
Yeah,
but it's like also I feel like I wouldn't be that way if I was able to play drums. Like I still would to a certain extent, but like I've always wanted to like just have a place where I can, like growing up I definitely could, but it was like limited. And then when I moved to Lancaster, I lived in a place where I was playing drums, and then my neighbor was like, he was like, gonna kill me. He was gonna like break into my house.
Yeah.
Like literally told me he's gonna kill me.
Right.
With a baseball bat. And then was just like, and then I was kind of scarred from that for a bit. And then I moved in with my partner. So I'm just hoping that I can finally find a place where I can just like let loose and fucking go at it for like hours and just get better.
Yeah.
And just practice. Cause it's really cool in Lancaster. Like, I can go outside and play, but there's always the obstacle of like, it's like the same thing as like the hardest part of going to the gym is like going to it.
Yeah.
It's like, I feel like, I don't know, like it, setting it up, but excuses, right. You know.
But, still. But I mean, the drums are like the hardest instrument to figure out where you can do it unless you have like a studio or like a property or some shit, you know, like you can't be setting up drums on the opposite of some your apartment or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I definitely.
Are you like electric kits or not? The Move?
I'm not a fan. I think they're really cool, but I wouldn't use it as like, I wouldn't be opposed to having one at all. But like, when am I don't know if I'll ever have the money. Just be like, oh, I think I'll buy an electric.
Yeah, right.
So like, for me, it's like, it's always acoustic drums all the way. I think honestly the best in that category of like drums, like electric, acoustic, is the crossover. So like having triggers on the acoustic drums.
Yeah.
And sometimes not even acoustic drums. There's like, they like feel like regular drums, but they're like, they're not.
Yeah.
I don't know. That stuff, Sunhouse Inc. is one of those people that does that stuff. That stuff is crazy. I can't wait to, I can't wait if I can ever get one of those things, I totally will. Cause I'll just like change everything. For
yeah.
Me. Yeah.
Yeah. A combination of the digital and the acoustic.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be neat. So you mentioned earlier that you moved to Lancaster 3 years ago.
Three and a half, something
where,
like that. Yeah.
Where did you come from?
I come from like Glenmore. It's like it's like an hour from here. It's like also an hour from Philly. It's just like a shitty suburb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I used to, before this was the thing, I was a delivery driver, and I used to drive all around like the in between here and Philly area. I'm trying to remember Glenmore was ever
Downingtown.
Yeah.
That's like kind of where it's at.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, it was there was like some outside nature spots that were really cool, but and I was really lucky because all my friends like lived in my neighborhood. Mm. But outside of that, there was never like any music stuff besides like school rock, which was cool. Because I did that for like a month, and then it got like too expensive, and then, But I don't know. I was lucky because I had all my friends in my neighborhood. Right. So if I didn't have that, like, it would be crazy.
Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. And why did you come here?
So I went to Millersville for 1 year because my friend who Matt was in my neighborhood, Matt Subers, he went to there and he liked it, and he like, you know, is a really good musician. And I was like, okay, cool, like if he likes it. And then I kind of like, once I got to Millersville, realized like, oh, there's no way I can do this. Like,
yeah,
I like, it just didn't work for me. I also didn't really get down with like the teaching methods of a lot of the teachers.
What were you studying there?
Music, business and technology.
Okay.
Yeah. So also when I felt like I joined the production like classes, a lot of the stuff they were showing me was like I get you're going to school to learn stuff, but I guess it was like I already had a background, so I already had a head start, so it was like, oh, why am I doing this, you know? Right. And it's like, oh, I guess I just gotta get through this part and then I'll learn stuff, but I'm like, I'm not trying to risk not learning stuff.
Right,
like, I'm still in student debt and like paying that shit every month for like 20,000 or whatever, some shit, like for 1 year.
That's a
and
lot,
they didn't even accept me as a full-time student because I was like the last ranked person in my high school or whatever. So they were like, oh, part-time student, but like it's still the same price with like dorms and shit.
That's fucking whack.
So then I was just like, I'm like, all right, 1 year I did that, this is not gonna work. And like I think I'll be able to like take care of it by the time I'm like 35, 30, which is good because I know there's 20,000 compared to like 100.
It's
But yeah, I mean, I don't regret it because it's like I met some people who are like, I'll like have for the rest of my life.
Right.
Like including my partner, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
No regrets. And like, I also met like Street Beans, like people in Street Beans through that. So, but yeah, now that like I've been here and stuff, I love it so much, and I'll always like be coming back here all the time. But I just feel like I want to kind of, I feel like I'm a little too comfortable.
Yeah.
And because of that, I just want to not put myself in an uncomfortable position, but maybe a little bit, you know, maybe test the waters and like see what's in store for like. I just want to be around people who make me feel like I'm a bad musician in a way, so I can get better. So like,
no, I get because
there's so many like drummers and beat makers in Philly that are like, and just musicians in general, not just like things that I do. Like, there's like plenty of people who just play like sax that I know that like really inspire me. Just what they do, just absorbing all that energy, absorbing as much as, just be a sponge and just like. Be a sponge and be like a fly on the wall and just like be there just to like experience, like, because the few times, or not the few, I've been there a good amount, but like the times that I have been to shows there that are like people who are like I've saw online but like not talked to but like wanted to check out their show. Mm-hmm. I don't know, they've like blown me away.
Right.
Like So I've been like, oh, if this is just like a normal thing down here.
That's fantastic.
Then I want to be all over. I want to be all around this, you know.
No, that's fantastic. Yeah. I mean, if you're I agree with you 100%, you know. If you're around people that aren't like either I don't know, like stimulating you more, pushing you more or whatever, then you're fucking up, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Lancaster's been like my home base for a while because it's cheap and I can go to bigger cities from here.
Exactly.
But the idea of like living here forever is not the plan.
I got you.
Cause like it's cool. The scene here is cool. For
it is.
Sure.
Yeah.
Shout out to everybody about it, you know?
Oh my God. Yeah.
But it is like small as fuck.
Right.
You know? And I feel like as somebody that's been in it for a while, I don't feel like I'm talking shit by saying that, but
no.
Yeah, I mean Lancaster's fucking tiny.
Yeah, no, you're not at all talking shit. There's nothing wrong with just expressing how you
more.
Feel about it. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
But yeah, the concept of like seeking like discomfort and shit is like, you know, it's hard.
It is,
but it's necessary if you want to do better shit.
If you
want
to grow,
yeah,
yeah. I always say grow or die.
Yeah, hell yeah,
yeah. But
I can take that.
Yeah, I don't know. That's some of the hardest stuff is,
yeah.
Like, because there's times where it's still like, oh, should I really, like, be moving? And it's like, yeah you should, because it's just now or never, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like, But I'll still always, like, come back here and, you know, play shows if that is a thing, like I don't know, but
yeah
I do really like the vibe here. It's very relaxed, very comfortable.
True.
But I hope it stays that way too. So
it seems to be growing a lot of people are moving here and they're building new things, and
that's kind of whack.
Yeah it's just more people, man. Everyone's making more people. Can't stop that.
Yep. No, we cannot.
So, I'm kind of flying all around here conceptually, speaking of things. You mentioned earlier that your first love of art, at least, was like from a visual aspect. You still, do you paint? Do you sculpt? Do you do other mediums of art outside of sound?
So,
regularly, I should say.
I would say regularly, no.
Yeah.
I would say I'd like to more, but I've just been so like occupied with the music stuff. Mm. I guess the music stuff feels like a necessity, and then the art stuff, like that was my first love for sure, but it was just like, I don't know. I don't do it regularly, but I have my spurts. But with the music stuff getting like more, just like requiring more attention, even just like through like success or whatever, just like wanting to do it, like I feel like that's more of like a need thing. And then the visual arts just comes and goes, I guess. Like it was when I was a kid, I was like always drawing on my mom's like shopping lists and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's how she noticed it. And then I was like just kind of went crazy with that and like drew all over my like bedroom walls and stuff.
Yeah.
And like I definitely want to have a room where that's in my future house, if that ever happens. I want to have a wall where everyone can like draw like all over it.
Oh, yeah.
And like spray paint or whatever. I really enjoy like graffiti.
Yeah.
But like you know, I don't really even do that much. Just painting in general is really cool. That whole art style is really dope.
Yeah.
I have my spurts of like going in and out of it. Designing clothes is really cool, but yeah, to answer your question, I don't really do it regularly anymore. It's like, it's kind of been replaced with, you know, it's been replaced with music, but I still do all my own cover art and stuff. But it's like, sometimes I wish that I never had to come up with a name or cover art. Because when I make the song, I'm just like, I just want it to be like that thing.
Right.
But like, I don't want to just name it like one or two or, you know, like, but, Yeah, I don't know. I would like to get into it more, but I don't know if I will, honestly, because I'm just like, whenever I'm not like playing like drums, I'm making beats, and that seems to be working out for me. So, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. So I got a couple more questions I want to ask you, and we'll probably wrap this up soon. But I always like to extend the opportunity to people because I've been asking you questions, and if not, it's totally fine. But do you want to ask me anything? I don't make it fair here.
Yeah, totally. Okay. What was it that you like brought you to music?
Well, I mean, like forever ago when I joined this band when I was like 13 or 14 or whatever, I was just trying to like meet chicks and do that whole thing.
What did you play in the band?
So I say nothing like now, but at the time, like I kind of dabbled with the keys and the bass. A buddy of mine, his father was in a cover band, and they had like a practice bass at their place. And they had all these like instruments and stuff. So I was kind of like, I'll borrow this and play around with this or whatever. But like, I didn't have any like discipline to learn anything. I just wanted to like be a rock star, man.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to like do the shit. So like, I was like, fucking around with, they had a synth, which was kind of the first thing that I was like, oh wow, like this is really cool. I don't remember what it was. It was some like Yamaha, you know, keyboard thing. I had borrowed that from them, and I was messing around with it, and I was singing, and I was like trying to learn how to play the bass. But I played like the keys, if you will, and like whenever we would play shows, I had some like synth parts that I would play during our fantastical metalcore music. But I was really good at selling tickets and like promoting and shit. So I was like, oh, like I could do this, and then I started DJing, and I did that for years, and was like throwing my own shows and doing that whole thing. And that kind of roundabout led me into this world.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's a really cool story. I like that. Like,
yeah, it's a weird place. Like, starting like some metalcore.
Yeah.
Super hardcore, like underground rave stuff for a really long period of time. Then into like hip hop and then into like the rap space, like pretty much all this like prime focus for years. And then now like getting more into like from the engineering aspect, like. Now we're working with like bands, metal projects, and rock and hip hop, and
that's awesome.
All like all different genres. Yeah, it's been a weird.
I love that
weird journey.
I can relate to that. Like, I feel like I have a pretty similar like to in that in as far as like you're talking about like where it started, like quotation genre wise. Yeah. Like I was into the punk stuff like a lot because drums like punk stuff like it's just like I was an angry little kid, you know. I was like, need to get that shit out,
right?
And then very similar except I didn't like DJ in between. It was just like that, and then pretty much just started making beats that wasn't really hip-hop. It was just like, I don't even know, it was like weird, like glitchy experimental shit. And then kind of like from there it was like hip-hop, and I was like, cool. And I was like, oh, samples. And then it was like boom bap, and then it was like dance, and I don't know.
Yeah.
Just beats in general. Yeah. Just kind of like exploring different weird things.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, genres are weird.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's so many different subgenres and labels and stuff now that I don't even really, I'm just like, it's music.
Yeah.
Whatever,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no. I feel like, how do you feel about that? Here's another question. How do you feel about when people ask you that? Like when people are like, oh, like what kind of music you make?
Yeah.
Like, how do you feel about that?
I feel shitty about it because I ask people all the time.
Yeah.
You know, but I now I'm kind of changing it to be like, you know, like what do you do rather than like what style of music do you make? Because ultimately what I'm trying to figure out is like, if you know, I'm having a conversation with a musician, I know they're a musician, but I don't know if they're a drummer or if they are a singer or they're a producer or they play the cello, or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then from there it's kind of like, well, you know, play me some of your music and I'll listen to it. But yeah, I don't know, because it's hard for me to answer that question. It's just like everything, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm working on a psytrance song right now that I've decided that I was like, I'm going to spend the next like 2 months
just doing sound design for this project. I'm trying to enter this contest where you can win like $4,000. And I was like, that'd be really useful.
Whoa.
So it's, I fucked up. Not 2 months, 2 weeks. I started it last month. And I've just been like super, like just listening to like German psytrance music all the time and really delving into that. But while also like working on like hip hop projects for other people and, you know, the country project that we, or like folk stuff or whatever. So yeah, I mean, when people ask me that, I just say like, I don't know, man, I'm just doing a lot of shit.
Yeah.
You know, but.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a weird, genres are weird.
Yeah. Yeah, no, dude, that's awesome. I mean, it's cool you're just, I mean.
I have too many ideas.
Yeah, yeah. Why limit yourself to one thing? Like, I feel like I felt that recently with like the hip hop stuff. Like, I felt like I kind of came out with some ambient stuff because I feel like I was in a little bit of a rut with like the whole thing. Like, cause I feel like I kept going back to like just the,
yeah,
you know, like just kept going back to that, or like the same groove. And I'm like, oh man, like I'm too routine with like this stuff now, especially too with finger drumming. It's hard to think of new things with like going in different avenues. But that's why I was just like, oh, I'll just like slow a sample down all the way and then like add a bunch of boost the bass.
Yeah.
And then just like put delay and then reverb. And then like, I don't know if that brought me out of it. Cause now I feel like I'm kind of in like a weird like phase where it's like sound experimentation mixing it with like hip hop. Like, I feel like if we put that song in this podcast, you'll kind of see what I mean with like that, the song that's Fat Joint is what it's called.
Oh yeah. Is that the one you want to play at the top?
Yeah, sure.
I love when this happens, right? So like, you have heard it, I haven't heard it, but when the people are listening to this podcast, they have heard it already.
Yeah.
And it's this weird time thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I like pointing that out when it happens. Yeah. Well, yeah, we'll check that out for sure.
Mm.
But yeah, this has been cool, man. I'm trying to think. I have so many questions, and I also don't have any. I need to eat some food at some point.
Not eating today?
No.
Ooh.
I don't really eat breakfast, or like I don't eat normally within the first couple hours that I wake up.
Yeah.
But then I'll forget, and then it's like, oh, it's like 4 o'clock, and I haven't eaten anything today.
Yeah.
And then I'll eat something.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a very unhealthy relationship with food.
It's okay.
I don't get me wrong, I love flavors and delicious foods and prepare. I cook. I'm a pretty good cook. I make some good foods and stuff. I got, you know, some specialties, if you will. But for the most part, I'm just like, it's fuel. Like, I just need to eat so I'm hungry so I can keep working or keep doing whatever. Keep jamming or keep whatever.
Right.
So I think of it as like a nuisance sometimes.
Mm.
Damn it, I'm hungry. I gotta go fucking make food, you know? It's weird.
Yeah, no, I, you know what? I can feel that, but I also am like, oh man, I just fucking love food. But I also feel the same way at times. Like, I don't know, especially at work, wherever you work at, you like feel like you're so sick of the food there.
Mm.
Like, I feel like, oh, that's how I treated it when I'm like at work. I'm like, oof, I just want to get this over with. If I am eating there, but I'm trying to not. I definitely am trying to eat better as well. Yeah. Like, I have a weird relationship with food. I don't know. I would say I just need to make better choices instead of, maybe that is a weird relationship thing, but
yeah.
I hear you on the waking up and not eating right away. Like, I feel like that is good, and but I also see the flaw with it of like forgetting too. But I feel like I've definitely never forgotten. I feel like I'm always just like, fuck it, I gotta eat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. I love eating. Like, me and my partner, like, she's a really good cook. She loves cooking. I don't really cook that much anymore, honestly. But I used to more, but I would like to get back into it, honestly. But I definitely love like food for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, now I'm like, oh, now I'm real hungry, man. Yeah. put the mic on my tummy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. Life's weird.
Yeah.
We're all just trying to figure it out.
Oh, yeah.
So you're 25, 24, turning 25, you're from Downingtown area, you make music, you're a cool person.
Hell yeah.
What else?
Is
there, like, I guess, like, there's a couple questions that I like to end the podcast with, for sure. But, like, is there anything that you want, like, people listen to this, you know?
Yeah.
Is there anything that you want to tell anyone? You have any, how about this? Sorry to round about it. We don't really know each other that well. You know, mm-hmm. we've met each other a couple times. So I guess anything would kind of fall into this category. But, like, tell me a secret.
A secret.
Or tell the people out there a secret. I used to do this segment all the time, and I ran out of secrets. I've told all my demons on this podcast.
Secret. Okay. I don't know. This one just comes to mind for some reason. Like, yeah. In high school, I was in concert band. And they wanted me to do, like, the suspended cymbal because I can't read music at all.
Yeah.
And, it was just bullshit, you know? Like every, like, it'd be, like, 5 minutes into the song and it's like, and then you wait and that's it. Yeah. And I was like, oh, my God, fuck this, man. And then I just, like, during the concert, it was, like, Christmas concert, I just, like, went into the practice room and just, like, nabbed the cymbals that were, like, in there that, like, no one was using.
Yeah.
And they were, like, just in a bin and, like, no one ever touched them, nothing. And I really needed cymbals because I, like, my first drum set was, like, a $100 drum set. And I've only had two. Like, I have my second one now that I bought. My mom bought the first one after I, like, begged her at like 12 to buy it, and she bought like a $100 one. So the cymbals were like would bend like inward and shit because I was just like beating the fuck out of the drums.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I need new cymbals, and I did that, and I like walked out of the building of the high school because everyone was in the auditorium watching the Christmas concert. Yeah. And I like put it in my friend's car because I knew it was unlocked.
Stellar heist.
And then I still use those same cymbals today. Those are still the same cymbals I have.
That's hilarious.
It's not a proud moment, but hey, I put them to good use.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And that,
that's funny as hell.
Yeah, it saved me, like, cymbals are so expensive,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, really, really.
And I still, yeah, like, I don't buy, like, new things a lot, like, yeah, so.
You just steal,
like,
them.
I don't, no, I don't steal, I do not steal, I promise,
no,
I promise.
I'm just fucking with you.
Yeah.
No, that's funny.
It was a high school thing, you know?
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm not perfect, but.
Yeah.
That's funny, though.
Yeah.
Hey, that's good for you, you get it out there in the world.
Yeah.
Next time I see you playing the drums, I'll look at you, and I'm like, I know.
Yeah, no, that's the only element of my shit that's stolen.
No, I dig that.
Yeah,
it's cool.
It was a shitty high school, so
yeah. Fuck them.
Yeah.
Go back and get their cymbals and shit.
Yeah.
No, that's funny. Well, no, this has been fun, sir. I think we're really flying towards space, and then
yeah,
my brain started to stop working.
No, you're good.
Towards the end,
you're good.
Bad
man.
Interviewer. But no, this has been cool. I mean, I think I've gotten to know you a bit more. I'm sure. I hope you've had a pleasant experience.
Definitely, yeah. This has been really cool.
I just want to ask you one more thing before we do that. Where can the people find you and all that other good stuff? You got anything you want to promote and all that stuff?
Yeah. So I come out with music like all the time, like literally all the time. Under Arori, and you can look that up on Spotify, Instagram, whatever it you listen to music on. So yeah, definitely check that stuff out. I'm coming out with a new project called Heal. It's a bunch of like ambient stuff that's just like made to heal, just like whatever you're working on, and just like help you and help ground you and like put you in a meditative state. So that comes out on November 9th. And then I also have a single coming out called Fat Joint on November 9th as well. And then Street Beans just came out with an album in October. It's called Street Beans. Check us out. It's like real funky dance stuff. that's pretty much it. Check us out. Yeah.
Awesome. So my last question for you, in your entire life, everything that's led up to this moment right now so far, what's your biggest takeaway? Like, what's a big thing that you've learned?
I kind of have like two like things. Is that okay?
So
trust and believe in yourself. That's like a big thing. And then I feel like that kind of ties into like listening to like everyone has like a kid inside them and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like listening to that kid and like never letting go of like that like dream you had. And like, you know, it's like I feel like a lot of people are kind of tend to be like, well, I was just a kid when I was thinking all that stuff. I don't know. But it's like, I don't know, listening to yourself, believing in yourself, following your goals, you know, your dreams, and then also patience. Patience, big thing. Yeah. Those are the two things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, hey, thanks a bunch for coming on.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. It's been a blast.
It's over now.